Heavenly Father, may you bless the preaching of your word this morning. Grant me wisdom and humility to trust that what you have provided is adequate to accomplish your purpose. Grant the congregation ears to hear and enable us to apply what we will learn in our worship and prayers and in our relationships within the church and towards the watching world. May you use it to build your church for your glory, glory that is yours and yours alone. In Christ's strong name we pray. Amen. We are now in week 4 sa ating 5-week topical sermon series entitled Church Essentials, kung saan we hear a sermon every service about the essential roles and topics about God's people, the church. Pastor Alvin started yung series po natin with meaningful worship or meaningful membership. And si Pastor James naman ay nag-preach the importance ng faithful elders in building up the church through preaching and teaching. Pastor Eric taught us how deacons serve the church by taking on a role of caring for the practical needs ng simbahan and how the church is so much better for it. And this morning, we will be looking at the church as a community. A community of believers saved by God to the life and atoning death of our Savior Jesus Christ. We will look into this picture of the church through the first community of believers as presented in the book of Acts, which is yung passage na binasa ni Ate Jocelyn. I love watching movies. Siguro ito yung pinaka-favorite ko na pastime. Hindi movies na cinema, kasi mahal yun. Movies sa streaming. So, I remember a few years back, I introduced my wife to the X-Men series ng movies. So, she liked it so much that we ended up na in one sitting, pinanood namin yung X-Men 1, X-2, yung X-Men United, and yung X-Men 3, Last Stand. The story of the X-Men is about people from different walks of life, different circumstances, diverse social backgrounds and ethnicities, finding a commonality in the fact that they all share the extra gene that provides them with extraordinary powers. They band together to fight a common enemy, exhibiting a unique na camaraderie and teamwork that enables them to prevail. It makes for good storytelling. Besides the fact that most X-Men in some way are mga social outcasts, kasi nung 90s medyo uso yun, one reason the story of the X-Men resonated to a lot of audiences is probably the fact that even in diversity and having very little in common, the X-Men exhibited a unity in action that overcame both internal and external challenges that prevented countless times, both sa comics at sa movies, the destruction of humanity. In a world where unity is scarce and people always find a way to oppose each other, this was a welcome portrayal of what we can achieve with genuine unity. Because as we know, even sa present time, the fragile unity that we have managed to forge in our institutions are precarious at best, and oppressive and dystopian at worst. In our study this morning, we'll be looking at a unique community, perhaps the most unique community of all time. A special community that is grounded not in earthly shared interests or a fellowship based on material, socio-economic, ethnic, ideological, or regional commonality, but rather on a spiritual one. Yung commonality that is not inherent, but rather imputed, given to us not by human ingenuity or will, but by divine ordination. accomplished in a supernatural event, wherein God, the Creator, comes to us as man, born of a virgin to live as one of humanity, to live in perfect obedience to God the Father, and to die on the cross as a substitute for all His people, so that the punishment for their sins, which is due to them, will be poured out on Him instead. Now for all who come to Him in repentance and trust, He grants salvation and the privilege to join Himself forever and be joined with one another as His people, His compelling community for all time. Tingnan muna natin ang title ng sermon natin before we start. Just a short word meaning or short etymology ng salita. Compelling means to evoke interest, attention, admiration, but rather in an irresistible or powerful way. It's like that commercial na parang pag pinanood mo, hindi mo matanggal yung mata mo. And community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. That's why our main point this morning is the church is a community of people sovereignly saved by God who, through the teaching of His word and prayer, are devoted to His worship and display a supernatural fellowship as a compelling witness to His grace and for His glory. The church is a community of people sovereignly saved by God who through the teaching of His word and prayer are devoted to His worship and display a supernatural fellowship as a compelling witness to His grace and His glory. This morning, meron po tayong 3 points as I will be preaching out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, which was read to us by Sister Jocelyn Ondario. Number one, the picture of the compelling community. Verses 44 to 46. Number two, the power of the compelling community. Verses 42 to 43. And number three, the purpose of the compelling community. Verse 47. For our contextual background, let's go back to Resurrection Day. Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead, which is a time filled with excitement. And He appears to Mary Magdalene in the tomb, sa John 20, verse 11 to 18. And to the disciples in John 20, verses 19 to 23. And to over 500 witnesses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus' appearance is proof of His claims. It means that Jesus is who He says He is. It means that being God's Son, He is God's Son, and His atoning death satisfies God's righteous justice on the sins of His people, and the obedience that He has accomplished is credited to those who are united to Him by faith. This also means that those who trust in Jesus will have a resurrection day, a day where they will be resurrected and welcomed to eternal dwellings. 3 key events to take note sa ating background as we look at the background of our passage. After His resurrection, Jesus gives the Great Commission. Before He ascends into heaven, He commands His disciples to make disciples of all nations in Matthew chapter 28. This command, often referred to as the Great Commission, provides direction and focus for His people. Now they know what to do. Having given them the instructions and promise in the Great Commission, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus blesses them, and after He was carried into heaven, this is called the Ascension. And as the disciples stared in awe, Two men in white clothing say, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Not only did Jesus promise to be with us, but he also promised to come back. And then, having given them orders and Jesus ascending and assuring them, he orders them to stay in Jerusalem for his promise of the Holy Spirit. A promised advocate, a helper who gives counsel, who will enable and empower the disciples' ministry, making them witnesses till the ends of the earth. He describes the process to be clothed in power from on high in Luke chapter 24, signifying that what would empower them or yung magbibigay sa kanila ng enablement is of divine origin. And we see this in action on Pentecost. Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, delivers a sermon. See Peter, now emboldened, after the Holy Spirit rests on the disciples, enabling them to speak in different languages, Peter addresses the crowd in Pentecost, refuting the claims that the disciples were drunk. So, akala nila lasing. But instead, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He then preaches the gospel in a compelling way, with the crowd being cut to the heart. They cry out, Brothers, what are we to do? Sagot ni Peter, Repent and be baptized. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, those who are far off and those who are near. Everyone who our Lord God calls to himself. And those who receive his Spirit through the preaching of the gospel were baptized as a public declaration of an internal reality that has taken place. And 3,000 were added to them. Which brings us to our passage this morning. And let me go to point number one. The picture of the compelling community. Reading verse 44, All who have believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Siguro, nung high school tayo, malamang pag patapos na yung year, pag fourth quarter na, may mga classmate tayo na lumalapit sa atin at nagpapapirma ng slam book. Which is a notebook, and I'm explaining for the millennials and the, ano ba yun, Gen Alpha. It's a notebook where there's a collection of unique details of your friends na mga na-build mo during your high school years. Well, nakalagay doon yung mga paborito nilang pagkain, paborito nilang movies. And oftentimes, ang cover ng slam book na ito is usually, ano, kung naalala nyo pa. Diba? Usually, yung notebook, kadalasan Katleya, is covered with a collage. Diba? Uso pa yung collage nun. So, ginugupit-gupit natin yung mga pictures sa mga classmates natin. And then, we club them together. And then, we create this one big picture na gagawin nating cover. It's an image that would best describe our high school experience. Isang tingin pa lang. Acts 2 is like this. It's basically a collage of images that would best describe the early believers. Can you imagine that no better picture would showcase togetherness than the image of having all things in common? To share your possessions with those who are united to you in a unique way. A unique bond of fellowship that you would not expect during a time of occupation. They were occupied by a foreign power. Most likely, yung access sa basic goods would probably be limited. Diba? In contrast, one would expect sa panahon na ito, someone who would be alive during this time with limited access to his possessions, probably they won't be sharing. Hindi sila mag-share. Probably they'll share it with those closest to them. Probably sa kapamilya nila. But the believers had all things in common. And they were together. But this did not mean that they lived together as a commune. It is oftentimes mistaken sa passage na ito that they were communal in this sense. But we see that the believer Lydia did not give her house to Paul and Silas. Nor Philemon, who had a church meet at his house, he did not donate his house to the church. Ananias and Sapphira were rebuked for their deception, for misrepresenting what they did, and they were not rebuked for the fact that they were presenting less than the actual proceeds of the sale sa land na binenta nila. Peter even said sa kanila, kay Ananias and Sapphira, that the proceeds o yung kita ng land, it was theirs to do with what, as they wish. The word commune is a collective gathering of people who also share belongings. The word origin of commune is from Latin, which is the word communis. Medyo familiar, no? Meaning common. In French, it is called commun. Same origin for communal, community, communism. The believers in Jerusalem were together, but they did not become a communal or communistic economy, wherein they lived in a single dwelling or compound na lahat ng amenities were shared equally, as even they were together, or nung time na magkasama sila, they still broke bread in their own houses. Magkasama sila, but they were going home separately. In verse 46, they did not have a shared ideology on what this ideal society is. In fact, this collection of people had diverse backgrounds. We had Nicolaus in Acts 6, who's a Gentile convert from Antioch. And in the epistles, we had Timothy, who was half-Jewish. Si Titus, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, he was Greek. Ang socio-economic backgrounds nila were also different. We had beggars in Acts 3, poor widows in Acts 6, and we had Barnabas, the one called Son of Encouragement, who had enough land to sell at ibigay ito sa mga apostles. Or si Lydia again, in Acts 16, who had a home big enough for people to meet. Pero you would probably say, pero pastor, didn't they sell all their possessions? Belongings nila, di ba, they distributed the proceeds sa sale, sa verse 45. Pero pag tinignan natin yung verse 45, it's actually the last part of the verse that qualifies the whole statement. The distribution was done to all, but it was given according to one's needs. This was further explained in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37, describing the way in which they were able to provide for the needs of believers. And although they were not yet formally known as the church, this was the foundation on which the church would be characterized. Kaya yung giving na ito, this was not done as a mandate to anyone. Parang cost of entry siya. Diba? Pag sumali ka, ibigay mo lahat ng ari-arian mo. Hindi po ito prerequisite. Nor was this, again, ideological. Diba? In the hope na yung society structure nila would be more favorable or effective. This was done as a result of a spiritual change sa kanilang buhay because of the gospel of Christ. We can clearly see the change of heart from among them. They were described as of one heart and soul. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32. So, ano yung result? There was not a needy person among them. Because what they had, or what they had in need, there was supply. When they had something in need, there were supplies available. And when they did not, yung supplies, binibigay sa iba. Those who had need. They did not become covetous or gluttonous na kahit hindi nila kailangan, kinukuha nila. And in verse 46, makita natin that day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. You see, the believers in Jerusalem were together day by day, and they attended the temple together. They broke bread together. Kaya pansinin natin dito that Luke utilized three different words. Two words tsaka isang phrase to portray togetherness. Christians attending the temple together meant that they attended with one mind. Yun yung togetherness doon. Singular understanding. Recognizing that even as they attended the temple, they did not attend in order to be made right with God. Because they were already made right through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of God's promises in the Old Testament. Kaya when they attended the temple, they praised God because in Christ, the reconciliation that they have is based on His sacrifice. A sacrifice that is for all time. Mediated by a heavenly high priest who sacrifices once and is accepted forever. They praise God because in Christ they have a king that reigns forever. In a kingdom that remains forever. A prophet that not only speaks for God, but reveals God to us because He is God. I don't know kung familiar po tayo sa victory lap sa sports. Kadalasan it happens sa mga tumatakbo. Yung alam mong panalo ka na, pero tatapusin mo lang yung takbo mo. Believers attended the temple doing the victory lap. Their praises more fervent, their prayer filled with the worship that is so much deeper because they know that in Christ, there's total victory. And they made it a culture to share meals. They were together in a sense that when they invited people to their homes, their feasting was glad. Diba? Yun yung nag-characterize ng kanilang salo-salo, gladness, or exceeding joy and generosity. They had generous hearts. It's a peculiar word here to be used for generosity. It's called simplicity. I won't read it in the Greek kasi baka mabutcher ko siya. Pero it's a word that at its root means simplicity. Because when you have generous hearts, hearts that are made content in the gospel, it will mean that you often have a surplus to be generous. When gladness characterizes your meals, whether they be plenty or simply lang, it reveals a heart that looks to Jesus Christ not only as the one who supplies in His providence, but is also our portion forever, the source of our hope. In Lamentations 3:24. This is why when we think of the Christian community in our church, mapapaisip tayo, do we care enough for our brethren as to consider our possessions as ours? Do our possessions possess us? Diba? Do we think about sharing? That's why it gives me great encouragement as your pastor to witness our service sa Crossroads. When we are generous with our resources, when we give when we can, When simplicity and contentment in Christ fuel our generosity, when we lend, when we can. Caring for others, not in a haphazard way, yung we care pero bibigay tayo para matigil na lang. But rather inquiring, we ask each other before we help. Kamusta ka na? But with genuine concern, seeking to impart spiritual wisdom. We share food. Diba? We share transport. We share time in visiting those who are sick. We share prayers when others are discouraged. Sharing concern. Yes, and even sharing rebuke when someone sins. Do we remind each other of what we have in Christ? It greatly encourages me pag ang unang sagot natin sa discouragement and concern has something to do with the gospel. Diba? Kung may nag-share sa atin ng discouragement, ang sagot natin, laging connected sa gospel. Did we sin and fail today? Take heart, repent. Cling to Christ and you. Yun yung sinishare natin sa isa't isa. Because He will not let you go. Have you lost your job? Take heart. Christ is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You are united with the One who sovereignly provides. He provides for you through your job. Kaya pag mawala yan, the provision is still there. It will just come from somewhere else. Because ultimately, it comes from your Father. And then after you receive the practical help ng kapatiran, we see that we live simply. Makikita natin, as we help, we see to it that we live simply so that we are able to provide this help in times of need. And we might ask, Pastor, how can a community be so ideal? Diba? Parang, magtutulungan tayo? Parang, di ba? Hindi yata siya sustainable, Pastor. But there's a power in the compelling community. Which brings us to point number two. Reading Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 43. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Isang prominent characteristic when it comes to community is the fact that there's always some sort of commonality with its members. As a matter of fact, if you want to build community, gusto mong magtayo ka or mag-foster ka ng community, maghanap ka na lang ng common denominator. Pwede tayong mag-build ng community based sa shared interest. Diba? Yung mahilig sa pets dyan. Mahilig sa basketball, darts, paintball, billiards, kahit cross-stitch. Diba? You can build community through shared ethnicity or in our case, regional location. Diba? Community ng mga taga-Bacolod, taga-Pampanga, taga-Manila, Quezon City, Paranaque, etc. You can even build community through shared life experiences. Diba? Couples, married, single moms, single dads, married with kids, married without kids. It's easy. You can build community as long as there's something in common. And we might think na since gospel community tayo, hindi natin ginagawa yun. But according to the book, The Compelling Community by Mark Dever and Jamie Dunlop, even in church, we tend to fall back into these drivers in order to power our gospel community. Don't get me wrong. Yung examples kanina, they're not sinful, per se. And we do have some communities na existing, similar to the ones I mentioned, na nandito sa Crossroads. But to make gospel community about these shared commonalities creates communities that can exist even without the gospel, according to Deaver and Dunlop. Not only can they exist, but they're not compelling to the watching world. Diba? They're just looking at something that they can do themselves. Pag magkakasama kayo mga mahihilig sa stuffed toys, hindi sila magtataka. Diba? So what should power the compelling community? Looking back at our passage, makikita natin that the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So ano ba yung teaching ng apostles? The apostles' teaching is the gospel. And we see this boldly proclaimed sa Acts 2, verse 22 to 36. At the heart of the teaching of the apostles is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter addressed this sa kanyang sermon during Pentecost, and he addressed this without mincing any words. Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, chosen one, validated by God through signs and wonders. And yet, according to the scriptures, he was crucified by the very crowd that Peter preached to, or Peter was addressing. And yet Jesus resurrected, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, and he was raised up to the right hand of God, pouring out his Spirit on his people, which they have witnessed, sa Acts 2, in fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. The gospel is at the heart of this teaching because no other teaching will create a community between two groups of people that so disdain each other. But now they love and care for each other in a more profound way as a community of believers which began in Jerusalem. Jesus' gospel is ultimately a gospel of reconciliation. Jesus not only reconciles us to each other, more importantly, he reconciles us to God. Jesus makes peace. Peace with God and peace with each other through his body. A sacrifice of his life on the cross. And makikita po natin to sa Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Paul reminds the Gentile Christians in Ephesus that at one time, their lives were separated from Christ. Strangers to the covenant promises, and but now in Christ, those who were far away, which is tayo yan, we were brought near. How? By His own blood. His broken body breaks down the wall of hostility. The hostility that we have with God and the hostility that we have with each other. As formerly there is Jew and Gentile, there is now only one man, Ephesians 2:15. Access to God is now available through Jesus Christ. No more aliens, no more strangers, all fellow citizens. Ephesians 2:19. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now, if you feel that this sounds familiar, yung cornerstone, it is because we have heard it several times in Scripture. Old Testament in Isaiah 28:16 and Psalm 118 verse 22, and in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in Matthew 21:42, and Jesus speaks of it in Mark 12:10 and Luke 20:17. And we see Peter and John addressing the crowd with the same gospel in Acts chapter 4, verse 11. Sa Matthew 16, we come to wonder, what was Jesus building? Speaking of the cornerstone. Friends, He was building the church. Hearing the declaration of Peter that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Sabi niya, ito yung cornerstone. I am the cornerstone. And I tell you, Peter, Jesus declares, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ito po yung first time the church was spoken in the Bible. The word church was spoken in the Bible. And we see it in the book of Ephesians being referred to as the new man. Both Jew and Gentile united not by any shared interest, but in a new reality in Christ, with no separation. Both are united to each other and united to God in Christ. This newness of life powers the compelling community. It fuels it, so that even when we have nothing in common, our shared union with Christ enables us to love each other supernaturally, more than brother and sister. This is a relationship into God's family, as Pastor Alvin preached sa unang part ng series natin. That's why just as the early church was devoted to the teaching and fellowship, let us not neglect. They were encouraged in Hebrews chapter 10 not to neglect meeting together. They let the gospel fuel their fellowship, sharing meals, their lives, and even their prayer. And even as we are called to be active members in building the church, we are also called to be filled with awe, which is nakikita natin din sa passage natin. Not because we behold wonders and signs like in the Jerusalem church, but we are filled with awe as we see God work in our church, in Crossroads. Behold miracles of gospel growth and evangelism, of changed lives. Yes, friends, these are miracles. We have often grown accustomed to them. Nasanay na tayo. Kung meron po tayong kapatiran who shares their deeper understanding of formerly complex doctrines, be amazed. Kung meron kapatiran who formerly hindi magkasundo, diba? Hindi sila nagpapansinan, nagdededmahan sila, but now they are together, be amazed. When someone confesses sin and actively seeks counsel and help, and when we see members readily give help, walking with one another, walking with that brother or sister who falls, be amazed. The gospel fuels us. It even fuels our prayers. Even as we pray for each other's needs, let the gospel inform your prayers. Pray for deeper understanding of Scripture. Pray for a deeper joy in Christ, a deeper trust in God's promises. Kaya sa ating corporate worship, meron tayong pastoral prayer that helps inform us as a church when we pray for the members. Oftentimes, connected po ito sa theme na ipipreach. Our pastoral prayers help highlight not only who to pray for, but what it is about them that we can pray for. Often modeling prayers centered in the gospel that is visible to the church. And that's why even as we enjoy community with shared interests, ang fellowship po natin becomes much sweeter because of our union in Christ. In the gospel which powers our community, our fellowship, our prayers. Kaya kahit mawala ang shared interest for a season, meron pa ding community. Because this is a community accomplished by God, established by God to accomplish His purpose. Which brings us to the third point. the purpose of the compelling community. In verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Looking back at our passage, we observe sa verse 47 na parang end cap siya sa description ng church. This highlights two things that the people of God can be observed doing. Two actions. One, actively done by God's people. And yung pangalawa, it's received by God's people. Given from those outside the church. The passage then ends with Lord adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. And going back to these two actions of verse 47, we notice that anong papansin natin? The church can be seen praising God. The church is doing this because it acknowledges na yung community na ito can only exist because of the gospel. This compelling community is precisely compelling because it is supernatural. When people who have very little in common gather together and form a community, we know that God is at work and we cannot help but to praise Him. Pansin natin naman yung pag nanonood tayo ng video sa YouTube or sa Facebook. Di ba pag nakikita tayo ng yung mga courtroom scenes na yung mga people can be seen expressing forgiveness sa someone who has hurt them deeply. Oftentimes, yung details they're too evil to be mentioned. Di ba we are often astounded? Papasabi tayo, hindi, Diyos lang makakagawa nito. It's the same with the church. When we witness a brethren who we know to be suffering deeply, raise his hand in praise during our worship. Kung alam natin na may pinagdadaanan silang napakabigat, we can't help but give praise. When we hear of fellow Christians, thank God during dark trials. Yung dark trials na tipong wala pang resolution. And yet we hear them praising God, thanking God. We can't help but be astounded and praise God with them. When we hear of fellow Christians, when we witness fellow members comfort each other and share gladly yung mga limited supplies that they have. Diba? Calling each other, nagtatawagan, kakamustahan, checking on each other when they know that someone is hurting. Praying for each other in the foyer. We can't help but be astounded and give praise. When we hear confessions of sin and witness our fellow Christians repenting and soldiering on, fighting for purity, we are astounded and we can't help but give praise. Yung picture na ito, brethren, is an anomaly to the watching world. The darkness will always wonder where the light is coming from. God uses His church. He uses our imperfect actions to draw His people into a saving relationship through Jesus Christ. Ang corporate witness po natin is a window that the world has the privilege to look at and see what's on the other side. That's why if you are looking on the other side right now and you are intrigued, if you do not know Jesus, you have not repented of your sins and trusted in Him for your salvation, if you wonder bakit, why do I need saving in the first place? Know this, friend. Your sins have separated you from your Creator, the Holy God who demands justice. In His righteous judgment, this means that He will punish you for your sins. But there's hope. The same God sends His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of man in order to live a life that we can never live, and to represent His people in the cross at Calvary. He died paying for our sins. That's why if you repent now and trust in Jesus, who He is and what He has accomplished, my friend, your sins are forgiven, paid for by the death of the Son of God. You are now free, and you enjoy a union with the resurrected Christ that is forever. You are now reconciled to our holy God. And His promised Holy Spirit enables you to fight sin and pursue righteousness, which are hallmarks of you being a new creation to our Savior Jesus. Kaya kung nawawalan kaya ng gana, for those of us who are Christians, kung nawawalan tayo ng gana with the church, if you struggle in loving the church, if you are so exposed to the presence of sin sa inyong kapatiran, if you are in conflict with your brethren, take heart. Remember that it is Jesus who builds the church. And this means that He will sustain the church despite the presence of sin sa lives ng Kanyang people. Jesus died to break the power of sin in His people. And He rose again, seated at the right hand, and His Holy Spirit sustains us until the time comes when He will return and He will remove the presence of sin from His people forever. And as Jesus fulfills this great commission to the church, He did not leave us as orphans. He promises us two things. He promises a helper, an advocate who will enable us to fulfill what we are commanded to do, so that we can be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And He promises us His presence. Oh, what great comfort when we hear, "I will be with you till the end of the age." And it is because He alone sustains the church, as in Matthew 26, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. The church is a community of people sovereignly saved by God who are devoted to His worship, to the teaching of His word and prayer, and display a supernatural fellowship as a compelling witness to His grace and for His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may You bless the hearing of Your word. Do this for Your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are witness to Jesus' work in this compelling community this morning as we partake in one of the two ordinances